Good morning. Let us rise as we are able and share in our call to worship. As God sent Abram, Sarah, and a Lot on a journey, God calls us to follow. God is able to make us more than we have been and blesses us on our way. As Jesus invited Nicodemus to be born again, Christ invites us to become a new creation. Christ calls us out of the darkness into his marvelous light, and we are saved through him. In grateful joy, let us worship God now.
Please stand and join me in hymn number 485, To God Be the Glory.
We cannot earn God's grace or favor. It comes to us not as something owed, but as a gift freely given. Confident in God's love for us, even when we are ungodly, we confess our sins in faith. Gracious God, we come before you in need of forgiveness and grace. You call us to trust in you completely, but we do not. We are timid and fearful as we follow your lead. We justify our actions and words, though we know they are not what you require. We struggle to understand the new life Christ offers, preferring old habits to risky change. Forgive us, we pray. Help us to be born again into the life of Christ, trusting that you have included us by grace in the family of faith. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Friends, God is for us, not against us. For that very reason, God sent the Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
Thanks be to God.
May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
At this time, please greet those around you with a wave or a nod. And you may be seated. God of signs and wonders, we come to your word again and again, seeking understanding and the new life it offers. By the power of your Holy Spirit, illuminate our hearts and minds so that we may believe this testimony and have eternal life. Amen.
Last week, we took time to contemplate the psalm, and again today we will do likewise. I invite you to settle your hearts in a comfortable space. Allow the distractions of the day to float away. We are to lift our hearts and listen with our hearts for God's voice. For God will speak to us in the words of the psalm. And again, I will pause so that you may contemplate these words between each stanza. Let us begin. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. Amen.
The gospel lesson today is John 3, verses 1 through 17. If you want to follow along, it's on page 93 in the New Testament. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him."
So, how do you all feel when you venture out into a deep, deep darkness? Are you excited? Are you anxious? I remember one evening when I lived in Nevada, and I had to drive from Vegas up to Eureka for work. And Eureka's this small town smack dab in the middle of the state. The drive was long, but the sunset had been gorgeous. And now the stars were twinkling above, and I really wanted to look at them. So I stopped just outside of town. It wasn't way out in the desert, but it was very, very dark there. No sooner had I gotten out of the car then I noticed how vulnerable I felt, almost threatened. I wanted to be there, but my goodness, it was scary. I did not stop for long. So I wonder if Nicodemus felt safe when he made his way through the streets of Jerusalem to see the traveling rabbi named Jesus. All the houses were dark and locked up for the night. They didn't have street lamps. Who knows what evil lurked behind those shadows? Of course, being a man, he probably was more able to defend himself than was I. But what was so important about this traveling teacher that he needed to venture into the dark of night? Maybe he'd seen Jesus earlier in the day, but couldn't ask any questions because of the throngs of folks who were surrounding the guy. So making a night visit might have been his best chance. Then, too, He was a Pharisee, a community leader. He was passionate about religious studies and enjoyed the give and take of animated discussions, even arguments about it. Did he see something in Jesus that made him think the man would be a worthy debate partner? But Jesus wasn't one of them. And that made talking to him very challenging. Asking religious questions of an uneducated handyman wasn't something a respectable man of his class should ever do. In fact, doing so would bring shame to his family and ridicule to himself. So maybe it wasn't a physical threat he felt that night. Maybe it was an emotional threat, a threat to his security. Caught up in the trappings of that world, Nicodemus was truly a product of the world in which he lived. No wonder he traveled through the shadows on his way to see Jesus. Many Israelites were curious about Jesus. Nicodemus may have had an intuitive sense that this teacher was God's son, but he still wondered if it was all real. He needed to understand more. I wonder if in some ways we aren't all like Nicodemus. Not that we worry about shame so much anymore, but we don't want to be laughed at or punished for what we think. That would feel threatening. I wonder, too, if our neighbors, the ones who no longer claim the Christian faith, might also be curious about Jesus, but haven't yet examined that curiosity deeply. Maybe they don't feel safe asking about him. Recently, a woman told me of her relationship with religion. She believes in God's son. Jesus was God's son, she says, but like so many others, she's been burned by the church. She's felt emotionally threatened for not being just like church members. So she doesn't do church. It isn't a safe space for her. To her and many others, the church, and pardon me for bringing this out indirectly, the church is filled with hypocrites, she thinks, who fail to see their hypocrisy. So why bother with it? There are so many other less painful things to enjoy. Who has time to keep searching for a church that will accept them as they are? And yet, from the shadows of life, she searches for Jesus. Like others, she watches YouTube services and helps out at Christ's table. In many ways, we are all like that woman and like Nicodemus, dancing around faith amidst fearful things shrouded in life's darkness. We often stumble around out there. Yet sometimes we do meet Jesus in a room lit by a single candle. It was in such darkness that Jesus, the light of the world, received Nicodemus. And while Jesus didn't shame the man for coming around secretly or not yet believing in him, he abruptly challenged him. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. If not exactly fearful, those words are confusing. And to think that the only thing Nicodemus had really said was that Jesus was a teacher who could do signs that could only be done by one who was in God's presence. In God's presence. There it is. Jesus was encouraging Nicodemus to keep searching. For one day, he could come into the presence of God, who reigned from heaven above. You see, in those days, heaven was thought to be a second dimension above earth. You can sense this in God's words from Isaiah 55, which read, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts." Meanwhile, earth was a globe full of hate and hypocrisy, of slavery and scarcity, and for people on earth, life was made of two dimensions, the pain-filled earthly one and the heavenly one of faithful spirituality. Both Nicodemus and many people today, including folks who'd rather not be part of the church, often translate the words Jesus just spoke as "must be born again." But as you heard in the NRSV today, the Greek text was translated as as being born from above. We see in that translation that Jesus is actually pointing to another understanding. He wants everyone to know that those who, through faith, find and see his light will be renewed, reborn with both earthly water and the breath of the Holy Spirit. For when they have faith in him, they will be standing in the presence of God who reigns from above. So rebirth into God's reign comes through faith in Jesus. He goes on to say that with faith comes the gift of eternal life, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life, he says. Now, there's no timeline on when eternal life will begin in his words. Nothing about having to die first. It begins the moment a person has faith. It begins the moment a person has faith. Best of all, Jesus invites all people to receive this life as God's graceful gift to us. Which brings another sensitive issue. Many people think this story indicates that only baptized believers will have eternal life, that everyone else is excluded from hope. Now, that could be so. But I'm not so sure about it. What of the woman who says she believes in Jesus but chooses not to engage with church? She does watch. She does serve. And what about people who profess faith and still act in ways that absolutely oppose Jesus' teachings? I'm not sure, but I do believe those of us who say we have faith need to work it out in ways not unlike Nicodemus did. He began his journey towards faith in Jesus in this story. But as the teacher put it, you do not receive our testimony. In other words, he's not yet accepting Jesus' teachings. Nicodemus is too tangled up in the world's values to claim faith in the man he visits in the middle of the night. But over the course of time, he finds himself drawing closer and closer to Jesus. In John 7, we would see his fear becoming an outcast beginning to recede. For there he stands up for Jesus by questioning his colleagues' ethics when they try to condemn the teacher without a trial. Now that took courage and had to bring shame on Nicodemus, but he did it anyway. And at the very end of the gospel, Nicodemus shows faith in his conversation partner. Perhaps he'd witnessed Jesus being raised up on the cross like the serpent that had been raised on Moses' staff in today's story. Perhaps he was changed by seeing the depth of love Jesus offered the peoples of this globe that is filled with hate and hypocrisy and slavery and scarcity. Perhaps it filled him with belief in the God who came to earth as Jesus to give his own life for us in love. For whatever reason, Nicodemus will join Joseph of Arimathea to take his Savior's body to the tomb, to dress it in an enormous quantity of spices and oils that he brings. He chooses to serve his Lord. So what do we make of this story in the here and now? We might be cradle Christians, born into the faith, but none of us are Pharisees. When it comes to talking about faith matters, all of us are a bit like Nicodemus, searching in the darkness for answers to our innermost questions. That darkness can make us feel insecure. And asking questions might make us feel anxious about how others will see us. We also probably know more than one person who's been hurt by the church and who avoid churches like the plague. They too are wandering in darkness, bearing important questions. This story reminds us people have always been curious about Jesus. And through John's words, we see Nicodemus holding a tiny, tiny seed of faith in Jesus. Why else risk physical, emotional, or spiritual harm by walking through the night to talk to the teacher? We know, too, that Jesus' words, "You do not receive our testimony," didn't stop Nicodemus. He kept seeking answers, for Jesus also offered hope when he said, "Whoever believes in the Son of Man may have eternal life." Theology, the study of God, is really faith asking questions to find some modicum of understanding of God. And our questions might bear just a tiny, tiny seed of faith. But if we nurture that seed by searching for answers, by searching for understanding, we are truly following a path that leads us from the darkest, fear-laden nights into the presence of the light of life, Jesus the Christ. But unlike Nicodemus, we are not searching out our answers alone. We share this journey with all kinds of people, one another and people who are not part of the church, all of us who have questions. And walking beside one another helps us banish our fear. My prayer for us is that we will share our questions, our hearts, our faith and compassion with all who travel this road, church folk, and especially those who haven't crossed the threshold of a sanctuary in years, if ever. For in so sharing, the light of Jesus Christ will be felt throughout the world, and the world might be saved through him. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please.
Please join me in singing hymn number 234, I to the hills will lift my eyes.
Please remain standing if you're able and join me in the Apostles' Creed on page 14. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
At last we have come to table. This is the Lord's table. It is not a Presbyterian table. It is not our kitchen table at home. This is where all who believe in Christ may share in the feast that our Lord has prepared for us. Therefore, let all God's children from north and south and east and west come and sit at table in the kingdom of God. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts with hope and peace.
Lift up our hearts in prayer.
Let us give thanks to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the one who is always with us.
Let us pray. You went into the shadows of nothingness, bearing your light of creation, O keeper of all, so that life might burst forth where there was none. White sands at the edge of blue-green seas, shale formed under the crust of the earth, warm mornings and frigid nights to mark the seasons. You blessed your children with creation's gifts, so we might prove to be a blessing to others. But we watched the comings and goings of sin and death, allowing ourselves to be blown about by them. Prophets responded to your call, daring to bring those words to us words we did not understand or want to hear, calling us back to a way of life that we had abandoned. But we knew we preferred life in the absence of your presence. And for this reason, you sent Jesus into the world so that we, along with all creation, might be saved. With those who toss and turn in the night, with those who have responded to your call, we lift our thanksgivings to you, saying, "Holy, holy, holy are you, who neither slumbers nor sleeps. Creation blesses your glorious name. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes to answer our questions. Hosanna in the highest. Holy One, you are the God of blessings, and Jesus Christ is your faithful one, the one who could truly boast, yet he humbled himself to become like us, the one who was truly righteous, yet he emptied himself to fill us with grace, the one who had spoken life into existence, then embraced death on the cross, so that we might be justified through your grace and wonder. We continue on the journey to Jerusalem as we seek to leave our comfortable lives to follow. We would talk about that mystery we call faith, saying, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. What then are we to say, keeper of our lives? It is your Spirit poured out upon us and upon these gifts of the table which bring us new life. It is the brokenness of the bread which gives us life, that life poured out for those who have no hope, for those who wander in the shadows. It is the grace of the cup which overflows with your gifts so that we might go to be a blessing to all forsaken by the world. And when our journey has ended, and we find ourselves in that land which you have prepared for us, we will sing our glad songs to you forever. God in community, holy in one. Hear us now. Hear us, O holy God, as we pray for our concerns. We lift up to you your earth, the globe that is filled with hypocrisy and hate, slavery and scarcity that you sought to make good and did make good, yet we have polluted it and tear people apart through anger and indifference. Help us to change our ways, to be better stewards of the blue oceans and green fields that you have created. We pray for the church, both here and around the presbytery, indeed around the world, as we seek to find new ways to be your body in this world. Guide us into conversations with people who have not yet received Jesus' testimony but are asking questions so that you might open their hearts and eyes to see Jesus' great light of hope. We pray for those who are living in fear and distrust in the wake of the East Palestine and now the Springfield derailments. We pray that governments here in Ohio and across the country will indeed repair their communities and mandate stricter compliance with safety rules for trains everywhere. We lift up to you those who are hungry, in need of shelter, suffer abuse, or are ailing in body or spirit. We especially ask you to comfort Dave and Elva as they journey through Dave's illness, as well as the Schumachers who are in transition, the Hickses who are recuperating Herb's health, the Taylors who live and pray to you in their privacy of their home. We lift up to you Nancy and Donna and Pat and everyone whom we hold gently in our hearts. And now we beg you to hear us as we remember aloud the words your Son Jesus the Christ taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. My brothers and sisters, on the night of his arrest, Jesus our Lord took ordinary bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, This is my body broken for you. Take, eat, and always do so remembering me. And in the same way, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood, which has been shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Whenever you drink it, do so remembering me. Every time that you eat of this bread and you drink of this cup, you do so proclaiming the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes yet again. This is the body and the blood of Christ. Come, share in this feast. This is the body of Christ, which has been broken for each of us. Take and eat, remembering him. This is the blood of Christ, which has been spilt for each and every one of us. Drink of it, remembering him. Let us pray.
Bless the Lord, my soul, and all that is within me, bless his name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all God's benefits. Amen.
All right, would you please stand and join me in singing Lift High the Cross, number 371.
We are a lot like Nicodemus, going through the darkness of life and seeking hope seeking the answers to our innermost questions. We have been privileged by God to have some of those questions answered. Not all, but some. And as we continue our search, more and more questions will be answered. So I invite you to share what you know about Christ, about Jesus' life, with all you meet, not just here in this church, but everywhere, in subtle ways and in bold ways. Go serving the Lord in love, but go knowing that you do not go alone. For the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the community that comes together in the Holy Spirit will go with each and every one of you now and always. Amen and amen.